From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep. Alaska might soon regulate its own hazardous waste. That's if the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency authorizes the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation's new hazardous waste program. Alaska is one of only two U.S. states without an authorized program. That means that EPA regulates the generation, storage, and disposal of the state's hazardous waste. Lori Aldridge manages the state's new hazardous waste program. It's made up of six DEC employees, including her. If the program gets federal approval, she says her team will take the lead on permitting, inspections, and cleanup instead of the EPA.
And honestly, for Alaska, it doesn't mean that much change, except that you're going to have somebody at ADEC here to call.
The state legislature adopted new hazardous waste regulations in 2023 that went into effect this summer. For the most part, the state's rules now mirror the federal rules. According to the most recent EPA data, more than 2,700 tons of hazardous waste were generated in Alaska in 2023. Aldridge says that's quite low compared to most other states, and one reason is that petroleum on its own is not categorized as hazardous waste. She says businesses commonly toss things like cleaning solvents, paint, and oil contaminated with other chemicals, which are hazardous waste. Some things are hazardous due to their toxicity. Others are hazardous because of how they react. For instance,
cylinder gas is a hazardous waste if you're throwing it away because it could blow up.
She says that if the program gets approved, her team will start with a lot of outreach to educate Alaskans about what counts as hazardous waste.
Getting people to manage it properly and to make sure that it's not impacting health or environment here in Alaska is what is the most important part of our job.
She says that almost all of the hazardous waste in Alaska is shipped to disposal facilities in the lower 48, and that her team would only be in charge of the waste when it's within state boundaries. The public comment period on the state's application is open until December 8th. Communities across Alaska are doing what they can to support the more than 1,000 people displaced by Typhoon Halong, which hit western Alaska last month. Haines and Skagway are among them. As Avery Alpha reports for the Alaska Desk, local organizations are asking community members to give what they can and have offered to ship donations to Anchorage.
Skagway residents have until the end of the day on Wednesday to drop a long list of items to the Dahl Memorial Clinic, the local healthcare facility. The donation drive is focused on clothing and gear, as opposed to food. Donations will be handled by nonprofits in Anchorage. Albert Wall is the clinic's executive director.
The items that they're looking for are clothes of any sort, preferably new, sleeping bags and pillows, hygiene items like toothbrushes and things of that nature.
Wall emphasized that people should bring items that are either new or gently used and clean. Other acceptable donations include air mattresses, duffel bags, cell phone chargers, and crafting supplies.
And we've had a pretty good response so far.
In Haines, meanwhile, the Chilkoot Indian Association initially asked the community to drop off traditional, harvested foods. But Council President James Hart says they will accept any food donations as long as they're shelf-stable and not expired.
The preference would be, you know, something that you harvested, but, you know, we shouldn't be pushing anything away.
On Monday at the tribe's downtown office, there were several boxes with canned goods, including sockeye salmon, homemade applesauce, highbush cranberry juice, and hooligan oil. With the help of two other locals last month, Hart harvested and canned three cases of seal meat to add to the pile. He says he knows firsthand how important it is to help when communities are struck by disaster, referring to the 2020 atmospheric river event in Haines that triggered widespread destruction and a fatal landslide.
I know how much we pulled together as a community and how much outside help we received. So having the opportunity to give back in that way is kind of special.
That's especially the case, he says, given that the disaster wiped out many communities' hard-fought summer harvests. In Haines, I'm Avery Alfelt.
The largest community in the North Slope borough has a new grocery store. Alaska Commercial Co. opened AC Stoic Puck last week in partnership with the local Native Corporation. Roughly 1,000 people attended the store's grand opening in Ukakovik, says Kyle Hill, ACC's president.
It was just all positivity about the broader selection of food, the fact that we had fresh cut meat in the store. In fact, we had hot deli food, including hamburgers and breakfast sandwiches and so on.
Over 80,000 Alaskans shop at nearly 40 AC stores throughout the state, many of which are in rural areas where goods have to be flown or boated in. Alaska Commercial Company has another smaller store near Ukakovik's airport, which it plans to continue operating. The company has about 60 employees between the two locations. Hill says customers' shopping behavior will determine the future of the smaller store.
If people end up shopping almost exclusively for their dry grocery, as we call it, in the large store, We may turn the smaller store into a different format, including more furniture, appliances, motorized machines, sporting, outdoor living. You kind of imagine a whole variety of non-food products.
Eisiisoakbuk, which means big store in Inupiaq, is in Ukakavik's largest retail space. It's 40,000 square feet and is owned by the Ukbiakvik Inupiaq Corporation. There's only one bank in the town of over 4,500 people. The corporation's president and CEO, Dr. Pearl Brower, says they're working to bring more financial services to the space, along with opportunities for local entrepreneurs.
One of the things that happens here is that we don't have a lot of commercial infrastructure for small businesses. And something that we'd like to very much consider as we move forward is utilizing some of the space to perhaps put in some opportunity for some small businesses to run small storefronts.
Brower says there has been a long need for a large grocery operation in the North Slope hub community and that it'll serve residents throughout the region. And College Gate Elementary School students now have more than 70 new classmates. Their families were forced to move to Anchorage after last month's storm ravaged their homes and communities. Most of them come from Kipnuk and Kwikilingok, Western Alaska communities where the tundra seems as vast as the ocean compared to the mountains, trees, and tall buildings that crowd the Anchorage landscape. But as KNBA's Rhonda McBride tells us, their new school feels warm and familiar.
Morning. Hello.
The day at College Gate starts just as it did back home, with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Recited in the Yupik language, or Yuktun. When College Gate began its Yupik immersion program 8 years ago, it had just one kindergarten class and added a new grade every year. Now it's a tight-knit family that just got bigger. And you won't hear anyone here at College Gate complain.
Black ones.
Misty Floyd is an assistant administrator, and as she unpacks donations of new gym shoes for her new students, she marvels at the generosity of the community.
Kind of a bright light in a dark time, so everybody's come together to help these folks out.
College Gate is ready. I stepped up right there.
Daryl Burnson is principal at College Gate. He's Supiaq, originally from Old Harbor on Kodiak Island. He says as soon as families arrived at shelters in Anchorage, he began to visit them to find out what their needs are. He says the Anchorage School District has a long history of helping communities struck by disaster. In fact, he grew up hearing stories about how Old Harbor families sheltered in Anchorage after they lost their homes in the 1964 earthquake.
My mother actually stayed on Airport Heights floor when my community was evacuated after the tidal wave took out all of our buildings.
Burnson says College Gate is excited to welcome the new students. He points to the school mascot in the hallway. They're all cougars now, he says.
If the Yupik program wasn't here, to me they would be a little bit more overwhelmed.
Lorena Warren helped to found the immersion program at College Gate. From sounding out vowels to learning to read. Warren was one of the first in the nation to teach an indigenous language in an urban school. She has come out of retirement to help the school absorb its new students who come from communities where Yuktun is the dominant language.
Seeing other kids that are also Yupik or Native, and then hearing them be taught in Yuktun, I think eases them even just a tiny bit.
Warren says although Anchorage is bigger, the children feel more restricted.
Children are now in a space where they cannot roam free anymore. And I can see that they want to, but it's hard in the city.
In many ways, counselors say the kids seem better able to adapt than their parents. But Tracy Frost, the school nurse, says sometimes the challenges the children face catch her by surprise, like during a vision screening when she told a little girl she needed glasses.
And she was fluently talking in Yupik, telling me that, with a smile on her face too, that her glasses are in Kipnuk. They probably were floating away because her home floated away. She was happy that we were going to help her get some glasses.
Frost says there have been some meltdowns, a boy overwhelmed by homesickness. She also worries about the change in diet, the lack of high-protein foods like fish and seal meat, which has already affected one little boy's health. The school, she says, does help in one way. It restores routine to the day.
When you're rooted in your culture, you are more grounded.
And it's hard to feel grounded when you've lost everything.
I just felt like my house moved to the ocean.
Eileen Aliagorea says she feels safer since she moved to Anchorage. She and her family were inside their home when the flood carried it off.
The house spinned really fast and we were like going down to the river and then we stopped. We hit something really hard 2 times and my living room window broke.
It's a nightmare that Aline says her new friends at the school are helping her to forget. Friends like Lily Lowen.
After something so big happening, they're still so like cheerful and they're so friendly and they were just so fun to be around. And I'm really glad that they are here.
Lily says this experience has been an opportunity to learn about something larger than yourself.
It makes me feel like I could be doing more to help, even though I'm a kid.
But simply being a kid may be a bigger help than Lily realizes. To share jokes and play games like Boop.
No, she got you that time.
In Boop, you tag people on the nose, and then they're it. Add some pig snorts, and you get a real giggle fest going. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
And right now in Juneau, it's currently 47 degrees and overcast with rain in the forecast tonight and through the rest of this week. This is KTOO. Thanks for tuning in.